The following podcast is a presentation of the Washington College of Law at American University. Any unauthorized use or distribution is strictly prohibited.
So many of you, around our personalities and about having some life experiences and great sense of humor, about our kinds of acting skills, the wonderful traits to have. And the most important thing, I think, as you take this through, is how to build on what we learned about the rest of it. And keep adding the process of learning to your life without forgetting about the things that are already important to you. And similar to what Mr. Wright said, it's also important to remember how complex this is. I actually got to take the section one biographies, which tells me like I was actually seeing it in a profound fashion. But there are some the general first year curriculum is the tendency of first year math students to generalize the facts of math. You don't need to necessarily choose that you either want to be a litigator or you want to do public interest work. I came out of math school very interested for a number of personal reasons in working with domestic violence survivors. And I worked at a lab in New York for over $300 a year working with domestic violence survivors. So no matter what, it's not an either or. I think there's a big tendency, especially as you have to choose whether to do right or do court, to think of it as very compartmentalized, that you're either going to practice in this one area or the other. But keep your list growing and make it a very inclusive list because there are so many opportunities in the city to do so many great things. And I would also encourage, I have a great little anecdote to share. I also encourage everyone to focus really heavily on not compromising what you have. People are going to say no to you, and don't compromise. That shouldn't change what is true to you. And there's a great anecdote. There is a partner at local largest practice, Frank Bono, who's the managing partner of my telecommunications practice, a member of our management committee, and very proud of the partner. His three things hanging on his bar: a Georgetown degree and two rejection letters from both Ecole Gallagher, where he's now a partner. And he's a great anecdote, and he speaks on the Earl's talks about the process of getting rejection letters, and sort of reminds me of a Seinfeld episode, but right back and saying, no, really, you still need to hire me. So it's a great lesson in that, probably, once you know what you want to do. And then the third point that I would offer is I would encourage you to think about, instead of finding a job or finding a career, encourage you to think more holistically about building a professional reputation. And there's a big focus in law school on grades, what grades you need for a particular job. And that's just such a small data point. It's a bigger data point in law school, but as you each year goes on, it becomes so much less important that you've been in practice. And I would say a good rule of thumb is you'll get more jobs based on relationships than on grades. And so the more you can network and you look around you, the people that you're sitting with, those are the people whose wedding is you'll attend, whose baby shower is you'll attend, but also who will be on the other side of the aisle in every case. So it will be your adversaries, your co-counsel, your judges, your clients, maybe. So just encourage you to use every opportunity also, whether it's an offer, a resume, or a competition, whatever you're doing as an opportunity to build your professional reputation more broadly, than just looking for your job.
That's such
a great advice.
Just a few things. You get to decide your home life right now.
I mean, I have to do some coaching after
I get
The point is to take advantage of our platforms and learn things, listen,
have a bunch of different things, different avenues, different areas, so that you can have a rich experience. And if you don't know that you've kind of missed out on the circle for us, our math professor, or as a math professor, or whatever, I don't know what you do, but our math professor doing it, but thing. You probably not going to do the same. How come I will do the same thing you have in your career? I mean, I started out. I was quite a defender, then I ran a rainbow crash, and yeah, I think I do that. Then I went from there to that question. So I could never know how to predict any of those.
Thank you.
for the settlement, but some of our former students were up for me, or I can't remember what right, which is that what you should do in law school is feed your passion, not your resume. So take care of your passion, and your resume will take care of itself. And I think that's a good one, because as of this, like I was himself, what you do well in, whether it's academic, whether it's an externship, whether it's clinic, whether it's an extracurricular activity, you want to go in, you want to contribute to, you'll expand the boundaries of. And the people around you, your growth, the people around you, were dependent on your leadership, whether your colleagues, your current colleagues, or your faculty mentors, they'll be there for you, and they'll be willing to put in a good word for you when you need it, and you never know when you'll need it. Not just necessarily when you're looking for jobs, but at different points in a professional career. And I think that's how you find fulfillment and success and endurance in the law, is by doing not just what you do well because it's easy, but doing what you do well because you come to work, you do well, and that is its own fuel that makes you better, and it makes you want to be tired in a good world. I think that lawyers are little things in our lives. They're still generalists. I think as Mr. Davis has said, there are still generalists. You know, specialization is much bigger deal in our era than it was when I was a younger man. And I think there are things that it's easy to forget, but that helps us realize that lawyers, a really early role for lawyers was they were citizens. They were citizens and they were actively engaged in life beyond your court, and your court is important, your family is important, nothing is more important. Your family and your friends and nurturing that core is absolutely critical, so that comes first. You can't be happy without that. But after that, you're part of the community, no matter where you are, and whether it's your church, your synagogue, your mosque, your family, my sister who lives out in Denver, now she's not a Republican. Expose yourself to the connections that you make. So I think I really can't plan for forever. Sometimes you can't even plan for tomorrow. And a lot of life is serendipitous. But one thing you do is serendipitous. But you can get yourself, I think you can put yourself in a place where you have sort of opportunity to go. You're centered in that, you're doing what you love, and you know. What you like, you are kind of like the one idea to keep doing the things that you want to do. And then when the opportunity comes, you're there. You're there. And you're ready for it. This may sound unusual, but I'm on the stick for somebody who actually has a lifetime of work, many, many, 3 decades, has only had 2 jobs. But you need lots of insight. Because it's be able to find jobs over time where you can find ways to nurture yourself, keep growing, keep new, something I'll just run. Right. Happy table.
Okay, so I hear what you're saying about you listen to the guy. The fact that now, did you guys do anything in your last book careers that you were like, this is awesome, if I could tell everybody they should be doing blank, they should? Or did you do something that, like, you didn't do something and you graduated with a very valuable on this
I would have taken evidence in law school. Professor Davis, most of us will tell me when you ask us, is Kyle Andy's wife again.
Because the second half of that question was, it's just kind of echoing with Carl and Lindsay, that, you know, they say don't do it, they say don't do that, but when it comes down to it, you know, you don't limit yourself when you graduate if you don't do those things that people are using. It seems like that employers look for, that law schools are looking for when you come out here. The employers look to see what law school you went to, and it really limits you in terms of what terms are open to you. And a lot of people say, well, you know, do something to open as many doors as possible, and then you have to get some options. But then if you just do what you like, sometimes, if you don't fall into that, I want to do more of you, I want to do this, you've completely closed yourself out to options. And when you graduate, you know, you might not find that you have the same amount of choices as the person sitting next to you.
I think the question is, what choices are important to you? Right, so they say employers look forward, let's say employers look forward, right? Employers look forward, right? You know, and so if you are convinced that the private firm life is what you want, and they may well be, I mean, my job is not to sit up there and tell you, you know, don't go work for a firm, because maybe some of you that's what you want, you know, and it's not going to work. If that's what you like, then I think there are things that are very helpful. Having to improve your chances of going that job on the ground, and I think we're going to be able to learn. But, like, again, the question is, and if you're not sure what you want, then if it looks like you don't want to be able to learn, but if you're not for the fact that you're not doing, that's not clear. Now, I'm less convinced by learning the lie or something that you have to do. Now, mind you, I would really tell you there are different reasons why you can be fair. But that's what I think, you know, I mean, by now,
that's a really important habit. We can overcome, like, if you do feel like you're closing the door slightly in one path, that the factors that employees take into consideration change with each, you know. So I think that would be an important friend for firms in their first draft, and very important if you're looking. So, for example, going to startup development, it's not the firm, and having your experience is very important if you're looking to lateral into a firm. For example, so there's lab levels, so it's kind of a metric that exists now, but becomes much less so later. And also, I think you can overcome almost any door that you feel you might have closed with a sincere explanation. Now, I would be shocked if you would find many people who wouldn't just understand an explanation in an interview, that now you just weren't sure if our interview was for you, you weren't sure if it fit in your career path, and instead you got involved in the Immigrant Rights Coalition and became a leader. And you know, instead, you, if you have a story that you found out, made a decision, and instead of this other app, you looked at that letter, I think you could always get around it with a sincere explanation. Most people, the truth of the matter is, most people do not actually enjoy their work, so they really don't understand the content. I don't
know how to do it. Sorry. Yeah, right. What are the combinations that are not really feasible? Because there's so many different options that we have. And, you know, thinking about it, I go, well, maybe I like to do, you know, journal clinic and externship. I mean, I don't know about that. I know.
The options that you're considering. So, for example,
if you were considering a clinic versus an externship that's not going to court, for example, which for an FHA status, that would be much more comparable. And so, like, for me, for example, I came to the UCL because I wanted to do a clinic, and also think about the opportunity to work at Women in Private Health, where I could litigate civil protection or cases in D.C. courtroom, which to me was the clinic experience without the academic support that I was looking for. So it was easier to enroll in a clinic because I got that. So I think if you kind of take a step back and look at what do you want to get out of an externship, for example, how good an internship is to try and feel, because it's something you're interested in, but you're not 100% sure it's what you want to do. That would be a great reason to do an externship. A good reason to do a clinic would be to get client experience, which you might not have gotten in your summer job, for example. So I think if you look at your own skills, maybe you can figure out how to make care of. And you know, doing work is good because it meets your upper level running requirement, and you might not have a class if you're interested in, you know, integrating that with work. Might be good to work on technical writing, for example. There might be skills-based
reasons why
that would be helpful relative to another program.
I had a quick question, Professor Barnick. What did you find enjoyable about law review? Because we are not really hearing that point of view. We have the law review meeting today. We were just curious.
So, here's the thing. A lot of these are predominantly about scholarship, right? And they're about academic labor learning in a way that really, for the most part, they guys don't have the access to in law school. Now, why is there only on two of our program review? And so, they actually butt up the value of scholarship, which is, checking, I mean, you know, it's a good point in the book, it's a good point, right? Which is checking citations, which is overhead, which is sort of stuff that probably isn't sovereign, but the way you understand yourself is. But what comes after that is something that I think in some cases might be worth the class, which is the chance to actually be involved in selecting a scholarship. Law is actually, I think, just about unique among major professional fields, in that students and not faculty control the academic journals. It's not true in any other discipline that it's that the second and third year students are the ones who are determining what is the best scholarship by faculty. What is the most interesting way, what is the most convincing way. Now, as a member of the library, as a chair, we often have much say in that, except in a very micro level. But once you're a 3L, you get to actually have a voice in something that, is what we're doing for our career, which is figuring out what are the important demographics in scholarship, what are the interesting things to say, what articles should get published, and which ones shouldn't, and how do we do other things. To me, that's cool. There's a lot of sort of unpleasant work that goes in the door before you get to pay for it. That's a unique role that law students get to play, and you're having professional students in the field have the opportunity to do.
I have three other really quick
programs
that are good about library. It's good for library, like you're working down how to produce a written work product, a published work product. It is very analogous to writing briefs, where you're working with other attorneys, seeing different levels, you're working with outside counsel, so you have very transferable skills, actually, that you get. And what's also great, it's a good opportunity to work with a substantive faculty member in their particular area of interest to get your writing requirement and develop a great mentoring relationship. The process of writing your content can be a great way to legitimize yourself in an area of interest, like especially if you went straight from college to law school, and you know you're interested in telecommunications, but there's nothing on your resume from working at like the app that otherwise shows value. So it's a great way to actually have a legitimate talking point in your resume that can get you in the door.
You guys, you're sitting there, you're in the airport, and you're like, wow, I could do better than this.
And you live in them. So there are lots of upsides to cloud management, which is not to say there aren't downsides. There certainly are. But I think there are non-resume-based upsides too.
I think we're running out of really just so simple. I think one thing that is important to do in your restaurant corner is make sure that you have some opportunity to have a faculty member, I would say. Not a CEO, but a faculty member, so that I'm responding and I'm inviting. And I think what's good about the restaurant experience is there are many, many contexts in which you can do that. If you're fortunate, there are people who know in someone like Professor Braddock who actually did a bar and learned your paper with you. And that person actually goes over with you every single step of the way. Your writing will absolutely improve. I think we also have a number of other simulation courses which is asking for pleadings, types of advocacy writing. Again, if somebody's going to go over with you and really help you flesh out whether it is it makes a strong piece of writing, those are experiences that are going to come in a part of my writing way. We spend more time on writing in clinic than just about anything else, regardless of the clinic and regardless of the particular type of advocacy activity that we're doing. I think that writing is important for you to get a sense of mastery and depth of feeling. And the writers are writing ones. And one of the things that's going to get really important when you go out here, for every kind of legal practice rule, in any kind, just about any kind, is going to be your ability to make a convincing, well researched, well supported, organized argument on paper. I think that's what lawyers do. It's absolutely the form of advocacy document, on the emotion, the planning, a supporting memorandum, whether it's more subtle in terms of more drafted contract. That protects your client's interests. That's stuff that you're going to need. And I think to the extent you can find anything in that, or anything that helps you do that, I think it's really good.
Yeah, I was going to ask in terms of timeline, is there any particular activities like Moot Court or Law Review that you thought was really useful because you did it your second year and not your third year? Or could you also do some of those activities your third year? And that would be okay, just personally, because I mean, I feel that too, like I kind of need to do this my second year, but I was wondering if I could wait to do it the third year also.
Well, what happened before I started with kids,
Even though it's not
necessarily a problem. But I think the primary issue, you think, I'm not so sure.
One other tip to keep in mind, remember the importance of having intended to be able to grasp the register on your resume in the firm committee process. So you start studying your resumes at the in the firm recruitment process in like August basically, and you'll know around what we'll anticipate doing. You might be working with the dean's phone, you might find the dean's phone or with a particular professor. That's part of our resume to where things in the spring semester don't have that kind of carry forward impact. So it can help you because you can have both your summer job and your firm activities are not already going you're just starting them as you get out interviewing. But it can help give you a little boost. For instance, so I was intended to be a dean's fellow for my contracts professor, but in the area of environmental, and my first job in the university where I worked in my first job was an environmental firm because I had on my resume dean's fellow Professor Charleston and environmental. And I wrote about the things that at the time I only anticipated doing, but by the time I got to so there's a little bit of benefit you can get from doing if they're semester based in the firm versus the spring. And also, I think a lot of people are going to be starting to get a bit demoralized about the summer job search. And I would also encourage you to remember, when you're looking for things, for opportunities in D.C. in the summer, it's a nationwide competition. But the fall and spring, if you get a rejection letter from your dream job, don't stop. Just try to push it into the continuation during your competitors looking at a local competition base. There's some great talent that comes into D.C. in the summer that that makes the job market unnecessarily competitive. You can still get those same jobs in the fall.
And I remember someone just put in a plug for it at the externship program had some friends from the school. And I do think one of the best things that you can get out of it is perhaps exploring something that you're not absolutely sure you want to do, you really want to get an insight into. This is something that I really want to do. And it's certainly also extremely beneficial if it's something you know you want to do, not just out of the sky, but you're probably better, though.
Law school wanting to be a prosecutor in AUSA.
But I have loans, and it's not just law school loans. I'm talking about my business.
Sure.
But it's law school loans. It's graduate school loans. So I'm not $100,000 in the home. I'm going to be like $580,000 in the home. So, and I hear saying, you know, do what's your passion, do what's your passion. But my passion is not going to get me paid and get those loans paid.
Students who've been in firms have been incredibly unhappy. Let me just be clear. There That's just not many people that get out of those events.
And then
many of us know those folks, so come see us and you can hear and know some of those folks. Just today, Geraldine Jeanette, who is a graduate of law school, and used to be the general counsel for the D.C. Police Department, and then was the general counsel for the House for the and just recently retired from there, is ranked for the high-end students, and she came today and had to go out and put her services on a regular basis for the board. And I've heard of people acting around her that are unavailable.
Thank you.